This is The Rich Eisen Show.
It's game day now.
The Rich Eisen Show.
And Alvin Kamara scores the touchdown.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield.
Touchdown!
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
These are kind of the games you look back on late in the season. You're thankful that you won these.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. So much to talk about here on this program. The Monday of week two of the NFL season. Desperation already setting in, excitement already running rampant for other places around this National Football League landscape. Tom Pelissero coming up in hour number two of this show, but let's hop right to it. Hour number three of this show. Let's hop right to it. Joining us right now from Charlotte, North Carolina, where the Los Angeles Chargers went to 2-0. He's one of my favorites. He calls games locally here for the Chargers, who are staying out east because they're playing in Pittsburgh coming up in week number three. My buddy Daniel Jeremiah back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, DJ?
Good to see you, Rich. I'm not looking for endorsements, but there's a full spread downstairs. You know, it's a nice thing when you're traveling with teams. So you've got a whole, I mean, it's all there for you. But I can't resist, man. It's just such a, convenient, easy move. Get back to the room with your Cheerios.
Yep.
And you're good to go.
You know what? I never thought you and Omar from The Wire would have anything in common, but there it is. It's Honey Nut Cheerios, DJ.
It's a fantastic cereal. And I also let's be honest here. Like this is not getting eaten, but I mean let's just try and look the part when you leave the door with a bunch of professional athletes. You know?
Yes. You just give off the impression that you care.
That's it.
So the Los Angeles Chargers 2-0 for the first time in 12 years. You've had a front row seat. What's this team looking like? Jim Harbaugh sprinkling his Harbaugh dust on it. What's your two cents?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about clear vision and plan of what you want it to look like, and then executing the vision and the plan. This is something that really took place as soon as Jim got in the building, you know, and then with Joe Ortiz there, I think they're on the same page in roster construction. Remember, Rich, it's not that long ago. Everybody freaked out when you have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen leave the building. And they're like, just hang on. We've got a plan here. And they go out and get Joe Alt, who's 2 weeks now. It's been awesome. Rashawn Slater's fully healthy. He's been fantastic. They kick Trey Pipkins inside the guard. Now they have this massive offensive line. They're playing with 2 and 3 tight ends. They've converted a defensive lineman, a 300-pound Scott Matlock, to fullback. J.K. Dobbins looks like as good a running back as we have in the NFL right now through 2 weeks. So they have this vision. I told Money as we were finishing up the game yesterday, I said, how many like Clark Kent games have we had with the Chargers since Herbert's been here? It feels like there's a lot of Superman games where Justin Herbert's got to throw for 450 and, you know, shrug off tacklers and make unbelievable plays and kind of carry the team to victory. This is 2 weeks in a row now where he can be Clark Kent, you know, and eventually it feels so much like your Michigan team last year, Rich, where it was like, is JJ McCarthy any good? And it's like, yeah, he is good, but they're going to need him when they need him. And they're going to find ways to win a bunch of games other ways. And then when those games rise, he's going to be fresh and ready to go, and he'll deliver. I feel like that's the formula that they've just replicated here with the Chargers.
Well, since you opened the door, I'm going to go straight in. And Jesse Minter's not getting the plays, is he, DJ? You know what I mean? Like, he can coordinate a defense, this guy.
Daniel? Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
Right?
And look, Mac and Bosa both are off to great starts. They're very coordinated on the back end. They give you no cheapies. Like they, and let me back up and say that against the Raiders, who had, you know, a fighting chance offensively, you know, that's another conversation with where the Carolina Panthers are presently. But this is a very buttoned up defense that plays very hard. And to be honest with you, it's rested because the offense is bludgeoning the other team and keeping your defense fresh on the sideline.
Right. And you've got to beat the teams that are on your schedule in front of you. And with the Steelers and Chiefs next for the Chargers, obviously there's some pudding and there'll be some proof and things of that nature. But you still have to beat the teams directly in front of you. And you've got in week one, J.K. Dobbins coming to the fore. In week two, Quentin Johnston, who was much maligned in his rookie season last year. And the Chargers against lesser opponents were chargering, and we didn't see much of that over the first 2 weeks. And I'm just wondering, I mean, Jim is kind of throwing that photo of him holding up the number two for 2-0 with his arm around Quentin Johnston. He seems to be throwing his arm around people. And then the stuff with Herbert where he wants to wear his shoes, like he asked for an actual pair of his shoes so he could wear it. Like, what is Jim up to, Daniel? What's he up to here?
I don't know if people, and you do, you know, because you know him. But, like, I'll give you an example. I got in here Saturday night. So I didn't fly with the team this week. Stayed, you know, I wanted to watch my son's high school game. So I get in Saturday night. I get into the hotel. I go right to the meal room. Not many people in there because it's a little bit later at night. And it's Jim Harbaugh sitting there with Joey Bosa, just the two of them sitting at a table. I get my dinner. I'm hanging out watching some of the college football game that's on the TV in there. And they sat together for, you know, while I was in there, probably 35 minutes, just the two of them. And Harbaugh, you know, just connecting with one of his better players. You heard the soundbite from before they left on this trip where he said, hey, let's pack the board games. Well, I went in there yesterday, last night after the game's over, and there's a bunch of the specialists in there. They're playing cards. I walked outside. There's a table with Uno cards on it out there. I mean, I'm like, it literally is. It's like, this is like camp. they have found a way to connect. And you know, you want to use the analogy even of put your arms around these guys individually. People can laugh at that stuff and say whatever they want. I'm seeing it in real time. Like, there's a lot of connection that's taken place with this coaching staff and with this group of players. And Quentin Johnson's a fine example of someone who had lost his confidence somewhat last year, has come in and they've fueled him with confidence. And now you're seeing the performance start to follow.
Daniel Jeremiah, move the sticks right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you saw Bryce Young right in front of you. I mean, we spent a ton of time about the quarterbacks two drafts ago. Does that look like the kid you saw on tape in Alabama? I mean, what's going on with him, Daniel?
No, he's got, you know, talk about, you know, just a lack of confidence. Just getting a yard is difficult. The body language of kind of the whole group is not good. I mean, there's not a lot of talent. It's one of the least talented teams I've seen. I came into the league in 2003, was my first year. That's, to me, it's one of the worst rosters that I've seen. And that's especially taking into account Derek Brown, who's their best player, who's out. But offensively, I mean, they weren't even trying to throw the ball down the field. I mean, you'd have to look at the next gen stat numbers, but there might only have been a couple throws in the first half where the ball traveled more than 5 yards. And it was like watching a high school game. And he does not look like somebody who's confident. He was missing bubble screens. He was missing hitches. Like, these are high school throws that he's been able to make in his sleep for his whole life that look like a challenge at this point in time. So I'm watching that Sunday night game last night, Rich, and I'm seeing the Bears fans, and maybe it's just Twitter as a whole, lose their minds and freaking out over Caleb Williams. And I'm like, guys, this is not what I just saw with Carolina. This is a totally different deal. Caleb Williams and the Bears, you're going to be fine there. The Carolina Panthers and the situation right now with Bryce Young, I'd be, I said it at one point in time in the game. I said, there's a couple things I know, that the Chargers are a very physical team and the Panthers will have the first pick in the draft next year. Those are the two things I came away with.
Well, and let's talk about Caleb a little bit here, because earlier in the show, Daniel, I was saying exactly what you were saying. Hey, listen, it's just game two. And they can't all come out of the box like the other guy that was playing for the Texans, right? and by the way, C.J. Stroud was 0-2 last year. The Bears are 1-1. And there was improvement from game one to game two. My only concern was, and again, I know it's just a screen grab. He could have gotten straight up and he could have been rah-rah and standing there, you know, rallying the troops right after this this still shot. But I saw this, and, you know, with a C on your chest and you're the quarterback of the Bears, I don't care if last night was like Utah on steroids for you. That's not it. And Eberflus was talking about Caleb Williams having great body language and disposition coming out of that difficult week one win. I'm wondering what your two cents are on Caleb, Daniel.
I'll take a different approach on that picture, Rich, because sure. Well, I watched the tape this morning. I think that is more exhaustion than frustration, if that makes any sense. He got the living stuffing kicked out of him in this game. And whatever it looked like on TV, it looked 10 times worse when you go and watch it on tape. And on top of that, he scrambles around like crazy. So I think he literally was exhausted. I watched it, and I was specifically looking for this because of all the pressure that he was under. And I posted just one play on social media to show the center literally getting thrown into his lap on a 3rd and 14. So I was watching specifically for this. And I say, is he gonna be, you know, frustrated with his offensive line? Maybe try and show up his offensive line. Who, I mean, he got peppered that whole game. I didn't see it once. Now on the other side of it, I love DJ Moore. DJ Moore is a phenomenal player, and by all accounts, I've heard nothing but great things about DJ Moore as a person. DJ Moore showed up as quarterback in that game, flipping his helmet off after a throw that wasn't accurate as he was going off to the sideline. And that, to me, that was something. If you're in the Bears side of things, that would be, hey, we got a rookie quarterback back there. This is second game. This is one of the best teams in the NFL we're going up against with elite edge rushers. He's getting the crud kicked out of him. He's still firing. We're still in this game. We got a chance to win the game. And you can't do that to a young quarterback. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there, but I came away saying, okay, Caleb, I thought showed some maturity on the field of just getting back up the next step, the next snap, the next snap. And I thought DJ Moore, that'd be one thing that I was a little curious about. And I don't think that's indicative of who he is. I just think that was one example of watching that tape where I was like, I didn't like that very much.
How about that? Okay. So, but overall, you saw improvement from Caleb week one to week two.
Rich, like you go through those games. First of all, Houston's really good.
Yeah,
not to mention how good they are up front.
Right.
Stingley might be the best corner in the NFL. I mean, he's right there.
Right.
And so that is a talented group. And then, like, I'm watching that game, and you know what doesn't show up on the box score when it's 3rd and 9 or whatever it is, and Caleb rips it a 30-yard seam ball that's perfect, and the receiver gets drilled, pass interference, your ball at the 5-yard line. You don't get those passing yards. That doesn't show up on your stat sheet. But that's a big-time throw. Roma Dunze, unfortunately, not able to haul in the touchdown right after that. He puts it up beautifully, perfect ball, doesn't haul it in. Now, Caleb missed throws. There's, you know, more than a handful. There's times where he gets stuck on his first read. He didn't work through it. Plenty of teaching tape for him. There's tons of stuff he can work on. But I came away from that saying, this kid, I know for a fact, is tough as nails. He just kept getting back up. And as a team, as if you're a Bears fan, that is one of the best teams in the NFL. You had the ball in your hands late with a chance to go win that ball game. I think I would be encouraged by that.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are your two cents of Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix through their first two rookie season?
I had a chance to go through Jaden's stuff this morning. I thought he played clean. You know, he took a bunch of sacks in that game, but you know, I thought they did a nice job designing things, get the ball out of his hands quick. I thought his mind looks like it's working really fast. It looks like somebody who's played a lot of football, which he has, accurate. I thought he did some really nice things and trying to keep the ball out of harm's way down the field. They also, Kingsbury did a nice job of scripting some things where had like a little leak play where they leaked the tight end out. They got him wide open. I thought there was, you could see plays building off of one another. You know, and I came away encouraged. I mean, I think that it's got to be hard for somebody as talented as Jaden Daniels to kind of bottle some of that and not try and do everything. And I think that's where the difference is with him, you know, early on versus Caleb. Both these guys are supremely talented, and I think Caleb's maybe trying to do too much of that, trying to make some of those quote-unquote hero plays where Jaden's playing a little bit more under control. But, you know, look, that's an encouraging sign the way he's played. I studied Bo from last week. I did not have a chance yet this morning to dig through his stuff for this week. But I mean, that's, you know, numbers wise, it didn't look pretty from this last week's game.
Well, I mean, it seems to be a combo of line up front, running game is virtually non-existent. Cortland Sutton is the only guy that seems to be able to separate, to be honest with you. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not watching all 22, but just eye test. It's a rough watch, man, right now
in
Denver.
Yeah, and I also think, I mean, the you know, the rush to want to label these guys and put them in a bucket at this early, you know what I mean? Like, let's let it breathe. Let's let Sean Payton figure out how to best use his quarterback as you go forward. I don't think they have a ton of pieces offensively, as you mentioned. But I think the panic button on rookie quarterbacks a couple starts in is probably a little premature. And I was thinking about this the other day, Rich. I don't know if we had talked about this, but is this year not an interesting example, or really over the last couple of years, of, you know, sometimes there's some patience needed, and sometimes where you are and how you fit belongs. I mean, you look at what Baker's doing in Tampa. Look at, like, Goff. Remember early Goff in his career when he was labeled, and then look what he's, you know, blossomed into. Geno Smith. We're seeing what Sam Darnold's doing now with a competent supporting cast in Minnesota. Like, you know, it's so easy to look at that guy taking the snaps and put everything on him. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your takeaway from Saints Cowboys, Daniel? What's your takeaway from that?
Well, Alvin Kamara found the time machine, I guess. Clint Kubiak is already, I mean, I'd like to be his agent, the way he's dialing things up with the Saints, and Derek's playing great. That's a team that I don't know that I spent 2 minutes thinking about, much less talking about in the offseason. And now they've come out the gates on fire. So I think it's a creative scheme. I think the quarterback's playing at a high level. And I think we're reminded that Kamara is still one of the, you know, he's one of the special players in the league because of all the different things he can do and the stress that he puts on at defense. But I'm, you know, as encouraged and as much of a cheerleader as I was for the Cowboys defense week one, man, that might be the biggest drop off from week one to week two, was that side of the ball for the Cowboys.
So then what is Clint Kubiak doing with the Saints that, again, you could say, well, that was Carolina week one, but that's a Dallas defense that marauded Cleveland, that absolutely put the bang thing on them in week one. And now Dallas's defense looked like that, and the whole thing fell apart in 1 week for Dallas.
Yeah. No, there's a rhythm and a timing to it. It's just hard to get a beat on what they're doing. You know, they're changing the launch point, first of all, which I think is one of the more underrated aspects when you're designing plays in the NFL. If you're letting teams get a beat on where your quarterback's going to set up, and there's just more good pass rushers than good pass blockers in this league. So to constantly be moving the launch point, changing the rhythm, changing the timing. I think we think of timing and rhythm with quarterbacks. It also works for pass rush. When you can get a feel, if he's going to be here, the ball's coming out at this time, we can coordinate and we can get home. He doesn't let you settle in. And I just thought, you know, watching what they did and then having chess pieces like they have, Shahid's a really good player. But I don't know how many people around the country even know who he is. But he is, he's an explosive down the field weapon. It's all working together really well right now.
All right. So in the couple minutes I have left with you, Daniel Jeremiah, I could go in so many different directions. So I'm going to go sports talk radio macro with you. Dallas, yeah. Baltimore, San Francisco, Cincinnati, all teams that coming into the season we thought not only had a chance to win their division, but go deep into the playoffs. They all lost in week two. Two of them are 0-2. That's Baltimore and Cincinnati. And Dallas and San Francisco are 1-1 right now. The one that concerns you the most long-term for this season. And again, knowing that Cincinnati has started 0-2 before, San Francisco has IR'd Christian McCaffrey, Dallas, we're now shrug emojiing, and Baltimore lost two games, one that they could have won, one that they should have won late. What are you thinking, Daniel?
Is it, I mean, this is going to make for a terrible talk radio segment, Rich. I'm not worried about any of those teams.
Okay.
You're not. I'm not. I mean, I think you can go through them individually. Like, you can't watch Cincinnati yesterday, you know, and knowing that they're not at full strength. That is the, you know, back-to-back defending Super Bowl champ. And if, you know, and look, it was 100% the right call. It was a penalty at the end of that game. But if you don't have a little overzealous play defensively at that moment in time, and he just jumps straight up in the air, they walk out of the, you know, the home of the two-time defending champs with a win and played them incredibly tough. And they have a track record, as you mentioned, of slow starts and figuring it out. So I'm okay with Cincinnati. I think they'll be fine. Dallas, maybe of all those teams, just because of the Jekyll and Hyde nature of those two games, would be the one that I'm maybe curious about. But I still think the fundamentals are there with talent on defense. You've got the right quarterback. I don't think that division's going to run away from them. So I think they're going to be okay. San Francisco, I mean, San Francisco and Baltimore, I'll put in the same bucket, in that physicality is something that wins out in this league. Mm. And it might, maybe you can talk about the ceiling cap. To me, you play as hard and as physical as those two teams do, it starts at 9-10 wins. And then, you know, however good the play is from there, you go up. But I don't envision a postseason without either one of those teams.
All right, then I'll give you four more, and you choose whichever one you want to talk about, because I know your time is limited here. Arizona put the crusher on the Rams, who are just so banged up. But Arizona did what they needed to do. Marvin Harrison Jr. looked the way that he did right there. Tampa is now 2-0, having avenged their playoff loss to Detroit. Green Bay with Malik Willis ran the ball down the Colts' throat. And all you need to do with Jordan Love out, if he's out for the next 3 weeks, get one. If you get two, there's a cherry on top on that front. You got that win, and you got the Jets coming from behind to give Aaron Rodgers his first win. And amazingly, his first touchdown pass is a Jet. Goes to the youngest player in the NFL, literally half his age. So I'll give you that as an omnibus right here to send you out the door. Which one you want to pick and choose that leaps out at you?
Yeah, I mean, the Jets one, because, and not pandering, but I'm curious to see what the next steps are with Reddick now that you have the Jermaine Johnson injury. Mm. You know, does that change that situation? Because it would seem like that would be a reason for everybody to come together and figure out a way to get him in there. Will McDonald played great yesterday. That was fun to see for them on the defensive side of the ball. But I think everything's there for them in that division. You know, Buffalo is really good. You know, take nothing away from them. But New England, I don't foresee them being over 500 by the end of the year. Miami with the quarterback situation, you know, that obviously puts their season in a little bit of jeopardy. So I think everything's out there in front of the Jets. So I'm curious to see, you know, if they can get back to playing a little more consistently on the defensive side of the ball. That's been maybe a little bit of a disappointment early on here, but you know, I think it's right there for them. And then coming over into the summer, I'd say one of the teams I was most excited to watch was Arizona. And I know the Rams are beat up, Rich, but if you have a buffet of games to watch, and you're flipping from one to the other, you know, you're in the press box of the game and you see, you know, a bunch of games on there. Is there anybody more fun to watch than Kyler Murray? For all the, you know, the criticism and the contract and watching tape and all that stuff, if you're just a pure football fan, he is a fun dude to watch. And to see Marvin Harrison get going early on in that ball game, the Arizona Cardinals are a very watchable product, in my opinion.
Daniel Jeremiah, so are you. Listenable as well. You know, tell the Chargers to get you a king size. I don't understand what's going on with the Twins back there.
Which bed did I sleep in last night? I made it. So see which one you think.
Wow, great, great, great. I'm going to go. Hold on a minute. I'm going left. With the one on the left.
Left. Right? Yeah, left.
TJ, you want to chime in here?
So you're going this one right here?
Going with that one right there.
That's correct. That's correct. Good job, guys.
Hey, but by the way, it's still an excellent job for a man on the road.
Though, right?
Big solid effort. Pillows could be fluffed a little bit more, but I mean, I'm nitpicking.
I went down and got my Cheerios and coffee this morning, and I ran into Harbaugh and Ortiz. And like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, I got to go upstairs and make my bed. I got to do Rich's show. And they just looked at me like I had three heads.
You're the best, man. So you're the Chargers staying out east, and what a game that's going to be. Oh my God, paint swapping in the trenches. Chargers Steelers 2-0 versus 2-0. That's going to be great. Enjoy that, Daniel.
Looking forward to it. All right, see you, buddy.
You got it. At Move the Sticks, check out Daniel Jeremiah back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun stuff right there. Watch every single thing you possibly can on our friends at YouTube TV. All you need to do is go ahead and get NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV combined, and make sure that you can just start watching everything. Every single possible game is sitting right there for you to get by watching the multi-view feature as well. NFL Sunday Ticket is available at YouTube TV. Make sure you get it all together, and make sure you use the NFL ST make sure you get that done right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back with more in a moment. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Hey, everybody, you know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man, all new Thursdays on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Where did Stephon come from? Did that, was that?
That came from two things. John Mulaney wrote that with me. And John, it deserves a lot of credit for Stephon, because he wrote so much of the rhythm of that and the specifics of it. And clearly, I found it funny because I laughed every time we did it. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever did it where I didn't laugh. John will put in different things, or he'll tell me as I'm walking out.
I'll tell you, I know you're not supposed to laugh at this stuff and break in the middle of a scene, but that's just amazing.
Oh, I broke
amazing.
Every time. You yeah, did? The first time was we had a club promoter named Amnesia Bernstein, and it didn't really get anything. And then he goes, Amnesia Bernstein didn't really get anything. And he goes, I'll change it to something else. And then as I was walking out, he goes, oh, I changed Amnesia Bernstein to Gay Leota. And I started laughing. So the minute I roll out, I'm like, Gay Leota. All right, the other one was, the other one that made me laugh was he said, he'll change little things. We had written also at the club was, a 2-year-old ultimate fighter, Julie Lips Jackson. He's got fists like empanadas and he's addicted to ecstasy. That's what we wrote. And then he wrote, so it was like 2-year-old ultimate fighter, Julie Lips Jackson. He's got fists like empanadas, and they turned the cue card and it said, he's my best friend. He turns the card and says, and he's my best friend. Oh my God. I lost it.
Oh my God.
I was like, John.
I am laughing
and,
so hard.
And behind the cue cards, Pazman, I can see him and Sandberg up against the wall just like watching me laughing like, get through this, dude.
Fun stuff on our YouTube channel. Check it all out, please. We greatly appreciate that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Terzo in Iowa, all rise, please. What's up, Terzo?
There he is.
Hey, what's up, Rich? Hey, did you get the Joe Namath?
It was from you?
Yeah, that was for me.
You should enclose a note, Terzo. We were like, who's sending just a Joe Namath action figure to the studio?
Well, there were supposed to be a note in it, because whenever I dropped it off at the guy that that packaged it up, he must have left it out.
No, he did. We're just like, okay, thank you, but so now we know. Thank you, appreciate it. That's very kind of you.
Rich, well, I want a Sauce Gardner signed helmet, and that came along with it. And I thought if you could ever get that signed and donated it to charity, or you dual sign it, something like that, I think that would be pretty neat.
That's very cool.
That's why I sent it out to you.
You're a kind man. Thank you.
Hey, so Rich, just driving back from Minneapolis. They are 0-3 each time I've been up there.
The Niners.
It seems every time that I'm there, there's some kind of heartbreaking big play, like Addison last year taking away the ball from our quarterback and running it in for a touchdown, or, you know, Jefferson for the 97-yarder yesterday, which was just spectacular. But it just, there is always something about Minnesota that we just can't win up in that stadium.
You know, and which is another reason why you're just like, hey, you should make the Super Bowl, because it happens every time you make the Super Bowl, you lose in Minnesota. So, feels, you know.
Yeah, it really feels that way. And honestly, though, I was happy to see Sam Darnold play really well. I'm happy that he's getting another bite at the apple. And his future's probably not there in Minneapolis, but I think he can still be a good starting quarterback.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's swinging it around. Thanks to the call, Terzo. Drive safely. I mean, up for the Niners are at the Rams, who it looks like they're going to be without their left tackle and two-fifths of their offensive line, Kupp and Puka Nacua, when the Niners stroll into town next week.
Who's house?
Niners.
I mean, Dr. Elatrosh's house, I guess. and then they're home for New England, home for Arizona, and then they're at Seattle on a Thursday night, and then they're the rubber meets road with the defending the rematch of the Super Bowl, and then a rematch with Dallas again before a bye week. How does that Niners at Tampa game look to you now, Week 10?
Really spicy,
right? So,
oh, definitely a long way away, but also here before you know it.
Did you put the poll question up?
I did. The one that we
just created it with Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, Jeremiah, which team concerns you the most after Week 2? Cowboys, Ravens, 49ers, Bengals.
Okay. I'll hit that with a retweet and go ahead and vote on that. Meanwhile, I'll see Sam Darnold in 3 weeks, Week 5 in London, to take on his former team, the Jets, after he exercised the ghosts that he saw in MetLife in Week 1, and he beats the Niners in Week 2. And now the Minnesota Vikings take on Houston. Battle of two 2-0 teams. How about them apples in Week number 3? And as for the Jets, it looked like they were staring 0-2 right in the face.
Sure did.
In Tennessee. As you know, my two sleeper teams coming in, I always give you one in the AFC, one in the NFC. The one in the NFC, Arizona. How's that looking right now? Oh, the one in the AFC, if Will Levis just had a little bit more ball security, Tennessee might be 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets turned the mistakes from Will Levis into points yesterday. And holy cow, do they have some running backs, the Jets. In Breece Hall, who made an acrobatic, beautiful high point catch in the end zone for the Jets.
Great catch.
Right? And then Braylon Allen, the fourth rounder out of Wisconsin.
Is he the youngest player in the league? Right?
He is. He's 20. He turned 20 in January.
Like what?
We saw a 20-year-old catch a touchdown pass from a 40-year-old, literally half of Aaron Rodgers' age. And he had two. He had one in the air, one on the ground.
Yep. He's 20. He looks 16.
I mean, I'm sure they
plays like he's 28.
I'm sure they carted him on Lower Broadway if he went out. And he went out in Nashville, and he went out and gave the Jets what they needed, which was some firepower in offense, as Rodgers found somebody other than Alan Lazard and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall.
Here, coach.
And the rest of the Jets on defense made it stand up. Will McDonald IV, the very controversial in many ways first round selection last year. Not a lot of people had him very high. Three sacks, and he's going to have to contribute because Jermaine Johnson, one of their three first round draft choices the year that they had a whole bunch of them, he blew out his Achilles. Go figure that. Another Achilles tear. Jeez. That is official. Which leads me to believe, do the Jets now call Hassan Reddick and say, come on, man.
Let's make a deal.
Or does Hassan Reddick just sit back saying, you need me now more than ever?
I think that's probably
yeah, maybe to him, the price went up.
Hey, it has to go up for him because with the amount of fines and the amount of game checks he's forfeiting, he's when he finally comes in, he might have to play for free for the Jets.
And nobody wants that.
And, but the Jets got it done on offense enough for the defense to make it stand up, and it came awful close at the end. It was a nail biter, but the defense held on fourth down. As the I was another situation where you wonder if the Titans tied, do they go for two? But we don't have to know. And this is what Aaron Rodgers had to say on the subject matter of winning his first game as the quarterback of the New York Jets.
What does first win as a Jet mean? The uniform for you?
Technically my second. We all know that. Somehow that first one counts. Four important plays. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they count on that, but yeah, it feels great. It was great. Been a long time coming. I was telling Evan, you know, in the post game on the field, you know, I hadn't had that in a long time. Being able to have that interview on the field after the game means you won, means you know, played halfway decent. So good to get a win. These are kind of the games you look back on late in the season. And you're thankful that you won these because if we want to be a great team, we got to win. In these type of environments against teams like that.
Yeah, that was Aaron Rodgers' first win since beating Minnesota Week 17 on New Year's Day 2023 in the 2022 season. And now the Jets go home, a quick turnaround Thursday nighter, taking on a Patriots team equally 1-1, coming oh so close,
so close
to being 2-0, taking Seattle to overtime. But the Jets got it done. They needed to get it done, and they were staring 0-2 right in the face. And, boy, it would have been the longest short week ever if they were 0-2. With the home date against Denver, and they could make Bo Nix see ghosts before they hop on a flight to take on Minnesota, and then they come back from London and host Buffalo on a Monday night. So
they easily win the next two games, and, you know, maybe both them and Minnesota 4-1. 3-1, I guess.
And they're at Pittsburgh, wrap up their season series with New England, and got Houston at Arizona, which we know is not a homecoming. And so there's a lot coming down the road, but 1-1 is much better than 0-2, this just in. And Rodgers' former team could say the same thing. I mean, we got to talk about the Green Bay Packers, people. Jordan Love goes down. Who knows how long it's going to be, 3 to 6 weeks. And the backup quarterback is Malik Willis, who they acquired on August 27th. And cut Sean Clifford, who they then went and rehired, put on the practice squad. He's up as the backup quarterback yesterday because Love is out. And, you know, I was genuinely concerned because I saw a similar thing to what happened with the Jets last year where the backup quarterback is not ready, and that's what Malik Willis looked like in his tenure in Tennessee. Not ready. Not ready for the spotlight, not ready for the pressure, not ready for the hopes to keep afloat a playoff hopeful team, not ready for professional football. Yeah. And he's taking on the Colts and a home opener. Think about that. They acquire him on August 27th. Hey, guess who's going to start the home opener for the Green Bay Packers? Coming off of last year's highly promising season, it's Malik Willis. And as I said here on this show last week, this is where Matt LaFleur is going to have to step up and be the coach of the year guy that I think he is. And holy smokes, he kept it simple. He kept it simple, and he put it on the running game. Now, you could say, real genius move, Rich, because the Colts got run all over by the Texans last week. Understood, but the Colts are a professional outfit with some really professional defenders who know what's got to be coming, and it didn't matter. Green Bay ran for 167 yards in the first quarter.
Most since the 2011 Broncos did it against New England, but they lost 41-23. So big deal if you do that, right? And you can lose. And the Packers then, by halftime, had 237 yards on 34 carries. And Willis took that support and passed with it. 12 of 14 for 122 yards and a touchdown. And the Packers emerge with the win. And with Jordan Love out, any win they get with Jordan Love out is exactly what they gotta have. It's a bonus. Well, it's a must-have. One is a must-have. Anything from here on out is gravy. And this is what Matt LaFleur had to say after they ran the ball on 53 of their 67 snaps and came out with the win over Indianapolis.
I don't think you guys can appreciate or even comprehend the task that Malik Willis, I mean, this guy got here 3 weeks ago. And for him to be able to go out there and command our offense, we still had a lot of long calls. We had shifts, motions, a ton of different run schemes. There was a lot put on his plate. And for him to be able to go out there and do what he did today, I think that speaks volumes of who he is as a person and the work that he's put in. Just super proud of him. I think our coaches did a great job preparing him. And, just really happy and proud of our football team.
Hey, there's no I in Matt or LaFleur, but take a bow, coach. Take a bow. Boy, are Packers fans lucky to have this guy.
Yeah, we were saying this last week, too. Like, this guy doesn't get talked enough on how great of a coach he is because he had Aaron Rodgers during the MVP years.
Yep.
All this guy does is win games with anyone who's out there. You just saw it on Sunday. Masterclass. Really, really impressed.
And as if the Titans don't have enough on him right now. At 0-2 with Levis making the mistakes, guess who's coming into town next week with the guy they flipped to Green Bay on August 27th? Malik Willis and the Packers are coming to Tennessee next week. And it's now all gravy because if Love's out for the 3 weeks, okay?
I would imagine.
If Love's out for three weeks and they take at least two of the three because their next game is home against Minnesota, who the hell knows? They could run all over them maybe. Jordan Mason had a decent day yesterday. Mm-hmm. Then they're at the Rams, which is what my colleagues, Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofolo on Game Day Morning Sunday were talking about. That's the date that's being circled for Love to return is out here in Los Angeles, which means two more games without him. You win one more, that's a cherry on top. And that sets up Love to return. And if Love returns and the Packers just go back to being the Packers with Love like they were last year, you're talking coach of the year material for Matt LaFleur. That is a big-time win, and I don't care if you're saying that it was ugly or whatever. I don't see a picture in the standings. That was superb because Malik Willis did not look good in any single set. He didn't even look close to being ready. And any time he's ever touched the ball in a meaningful game in the NFL, and yesterday, that was stupendous. Stupendous. And Josh Jacobs has been a heck of an acquisition through the first 2 weeks. Let's take a break right here. On the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204, Rich number to dial. Getting ready for Tom Pelissero. What's going on with Justin Jefferson and all the other injuries? Isaiah Pacheco, how long is he going to be out? That's coming up hour three. Healthy hydration isn't just about drinking water. It's about water and electrolytes. You lose both water and sodium when you sweat, so both need to be replaced to help prevent muscle cramps, headaches, and energy dips. Now, you might think drinking Beyond Thirst would be a good idea. Nuh-uh. That dilutes blood electrolyte and sodium levels, which could lead to headaches, low energy, cramps, confusion, or worse. A solution isn't to stop drinking water. It's to drink water plus electrolytes. Enter Element, created by former research biochemist Rob Wolf and Keto Gains founder Luis Villasenor. Element has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, artificial colors, or other dodgy ingredients. Also, Element guarantees you find a flavor you love. Try fan favorites, citrus salt or raspberry salt. Get spicy with mango chili or mixed chocolate salt into your morning coffee. Element came up with a fantastic offer for us. Just go to drink
LMNT.com/Rich Eisen to get a free sample pack with any purchase. That's drinklmnt.com/Rich Eisen. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. One last thing of what adversity Green Bay was overcoming. It was a hot day, and when you're running the ball, like just jamming it down their throats, and the offensive linemen are just firing off, right? They're firing out. Apparently, the center, Josh Myers, at one point, tossed some cookies.
Yeah.
As he's snapping the ball to Malik Willis, leading to this soundbite from Matt LaFleur. Hit it.
Josh got sick. There's a video of that. Just how hard was it, those guys, saying it was 80, whatever degrees out there?
Yeah, I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that, because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation, and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
I can confirm, you know, probably. I haven't spoken to Malik Willis, but geez. So the quarterback's watching his center boot on the ball and then snap it.
And then you're holding it.
How do you not fumble that, right?
Explains why you couldn't throw it.
Talk about Malik Willis is just like, okay, got to be ready for anything in this league, right? Got to be ready for this. Got to be. He's watching tape. He's watching this. He's reading the defense, and all of a sudden, oh my God, my center's vomiting. Oh my God, I have the ball.
There's no way he could see him puking on it, though, could he?
Unless he's standing over center. Imagine if you're standing over somebody vomiting. You saw me in this garbage pail a couple months ago.
It's right there.
We didn't see it. We assumed.
Straight up. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Game Time tickets. Make sure that you have this app right on your mobile device near you, and start buying tickets to anything in your area. College, professional football, the W playoffs is going down. Concerts are ready to roll for the fall. It's awesome. You get to see the view from the seat of the ticket you want to purchase. You get to see the entire cost of the ticket you want to purchase through the total. You get to see that total completely up front through their all-in pricing feature. So there's zero surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is awesome. The guesswork's totally out of buying tickets when you use Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use our code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Game Time.
It is a constant conversation in the National Football League about a rookie quarterback, and is he drafted into the right situation? And it doesn't matter
sixth round, seventh round, whatever round, or first overall, you've got to be drafted into the right situation. C.J. Stroud, last night, look at him. He is just an absolute unicorn that is just flying. And he was left on the board for the Texans because the Carolina Panthers traded all the way up and chose Bryce Young, who we saw in week one and week two regress from last year's disappointing season that was so disappointing, it left the Bears with the first overall pick that Carolina sent to Chicago to draft Bryce Young. And now we're watching Caleb Williams come out of the box, not looking like Mahomes right off the bat. And once again, that is C.J. Stroud's fault because he's spoiled a lot of fan bases the way he looks.
Yeah, right? He ruined the curve. He ruined the bell curve.
In the same way that Roethlisberger did years and years and years ago.
100%.
When he looked so great for the Steelers coming out of the box. And we had Daniel Jeremiah, who calls Chargers games on Chargers radio, on the show in hour one, and I asked him about Bryce Young, who the Chargers just ate up, chewed up, and spat out yesterday. And he said he's missing throws that even high schoolers make. That's how he has regressed. Well, clearly the Panthers have seen this. And Dave Canales, the head coach of the Panthers, the new head coach of the Panthers, who yesterday said Bryce Young is our quarterback, when he was asked if he was going to bench him, that was his answer. When he asked him if he was going to actually take him out of the game at some point for Andy Dalton in the loss of the Chargers, he answered Bryce Young's our quarterback. Well, he may still be, but he's not the starter anymore. They just announced he's benched. And Tom Pelissero, who's tweeted this out, is going to be joining us in about 8 minutes' time, said it's Andy Dalton. And we'll ask Tom for how long is his sense of that. Because the way Bryce Young has looked, they were not sending him on that field in week three against the Condor. Max Crosby coming off of a 2-sack, 4-tackle-for-loss appearance in Baltimore against Lamar Jackson. They just beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in their house. Could you imagine sending Bambi into Vegas like that? And again, it is about the system and the situation in which somebody gets drafted. You could go nature versus nurture all you want in the NFL. And that is what I will counsel here. The kid was great in Alabama. The SEC is no wallflower conference. A lot of the people that I'm sure Bryce Young has been made to look like a high schooler that he's playing against right now, he played against in the SEC, or they came from the SEC.
Yeah, or his teammates.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so he comes into the league. Frank Reich is in love with him, or Frank Reich was told to draft him. We'll never know this sort of stuff. And then all of a sudden, he's gone, and he's got an interim head coach in year one and then a new head coach in year two who's never been a head coach anywhere. Dave Tepper hired Dave Canales off of what he did for Geno Smith as an assistant in Seattle and off of what he did for Baker Mayfield in Tampa as an assistant in Tampa. And now, two games in, it's been such an unmitigated disaster that there you have to tell Bryce Young, take a beat. And it's going to be Andy Dalton in Vegas for Carolina. And then that means Andy Dalton in week four is going to take on Cincinnati. That's of interest. At Chicago. We're not going to see Bryce versus Caleb. I imagine they're not going to throw him back in there for that one. He's going to have to take a beat.
Andy's two former teams.
Man.
Revenge games.
Yeah, right. Well, and there's Dallas in week 15. I guess it's a problem if Dalton's still starting then. Saints also. It's the Andy Dalton tour.
Andy Dalton might be the starter the rest of the year.
I don't think so. I can't imagine that.
Start winning games.
They have to. But that's not the point. The point is that you have to rehabilitate your first overall pick. You're not just going to toss him.
The point is to win games.
It is, but you also have to win games for a long term. And you can't just make that entire move and then just move on from Bryce Young.
Not move on, but maybe he needs
to go 4-0 their next four.
Great. Congratulations. Then Bryce Young's going to have to play again, gents. That is happening. The question is when, but right now he is benched.
This is striking me similar to the Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers situation that was in place last year before Aaron got injured. A guy thoroughly overmatched and underprepared.
So let's get the veteran in
let's
there.
Let's get the veteran there to smooth the sails a little bit.
Yeah, but I guess, you know.
And learn but by
the
watching.
Jets, the Jets just drafted him. They didn't trade all of the draft capital for him. And then chose him over.
Well, that's playing the result a little bit.
No, you have to play the result, Chris.
You still believe in this guy, but he's just overmatched right now. Sit back and learn.
That's
watch Andy play.
Which is correct. But for the rest of the year? So now in year three, he comes in. So what? So they're 9-7 and they get a draft choice that's of a middle of the road first rounder.
But why not? Jordan Love didn't play until his third or fourth year. I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
This is a first overall selection that the organization traded a mint for. And, you know,
but that's not Bryce Young's fault.
And I understand that. But this is what, but that's the nature versus nurture. This is the organization. He was drafted into an organization that traded a mint for him, owned by a team with a guy with a quick ass trigger finger.
Yeah.
All right. And at least they let Dave Canales bench him. And we'll see what happens. But I have to think Bryce is, you got to see him again this year. Tom Pelissero coming up. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me
safe bet.
If you said two last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Very so fun. Thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.